So a very warm welcome to everybody to our Connect service. It's lovely to see everybody on this lovely morning. And thank you for making the trouble to get here. I know it's not straightforward this morning with the marathon happening. And we're going to be thinking about those who are running the marathon this morning. And I think from my perspective, I think I'm quite glad I'm in here rather than out there. Having done that on a couple of occasions, it's not an easy thing to do. But we want to welcome, and as we welcome everybody this morning, over this past year at the Connect service, we've been thinking about different encounters people had with Jesus. And today we're going to be thinking about an encounter that Jesus had with a demoniac, with someone who was struggling with some mental health problems. So that's what we're going to be thinking about in our service this morning. Hopefully on your way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. With the bank holiday, there's no toddlers or BB tomorrow, but most of our other regular activities are happening this week. Wanted to draw attention in particular to Wednesday evening. And over this past year, we've been running a program about mental health issues called Mind Matters. And as part of the Mind Matters series, this coming Wednesday at 7:30, there's going to be a Taizé service in the church. And Taizé is a little village in France, and there's quite a distinctive style of worship. It's quite reflective, it's quite meditative, and it's just an opportunity for people to be calm and to be quiet. And there's also going to be some interactive kind of prayer activities as part of that Taizé service on Wednesday evening at 7:30. If you've never experienced it before, it's quite a special thing, and it might be nice to come and check it out. But if you're free, you're very welcome. It's at 7:30 on Wednesday evening. Our Thursday prayer meeting over Zoom is at 7:00. And also to mention this evening, at our evening service at 7:00, we're looking forward to welcoming the choir from St. Malachy's College. They're going to sing Evensong, choral Evensong, this evening at 7:00, which should be a lovely experience. Also delighted, and I'm going to invite him up, we have a theological student with us over the next 3 weeks. Francis is going to come and introduce himself. And come on up here, Francis, and say hello to everybody.
I guess I have to bend down, you know. good morning. It's nice to be with you guys. I've started the ball rolling here on Monday with a mom and tots, or the toddlers group, which was nice to meet some of the parishioners. And I have to say my two also were here during those toddler days when they were that age. So they know this parish well and this church all well than myself. I am ending my first year now down in the Church of Ireland Theological Institute, training for the ministry. Prior to that, I work with TransLink as one of the engineers for my sins, and I think now I'm going to penitent for that by becoming a minister. So I'm very grateful to be here with you, and Juno kindly accept when the college contacted him that for me to do a placement here to learn from you guys and interaction and our ministry is from the different side of the Church of Ireland, the broad brush. So I am learning, and I hope that our paths cross well, and that I bring joy to your life, and you also bring joy to mine, not grief. Thank you.
So it's great to have Francis with us. Francis started on Monday, and he's already been in lots of different situations, and it's great to have you with us. So thank you for coming and sharing. I also have an announcement to make in connection. Over the past number of months, we've been involved in a process to appoint a new curate, and at a meeting in Dublin on Friday, I'm delighted to announce that the Reverend Dr. Ryan Hawke has been appointed as curate assistant, and he's going to be joining us in the middle of June after he is ordained to the priesthood. So Ryan will be joining us in June, and he currently serves as a deacon intern in Drumbow Parish, not too far away, but he is coming to join us in the middle of June. So that's again a nice piece of news to be announcing this morning. But as we come into God's presence, we're going to just be still for a little moment, and then we're going to share together in the opening prayer, which you'll find on the screen, as we just invite God's Holy Spirit and His presence to be with us as we worship together. We pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. And as we prepare to do that, we're going to stand together to sing our opening song, Wake Up. And as we come into God's presence this morning, we take an opportunity just to be still and to remember those times when maybe we've not been the people that we know God would want us to be. Maybe we've said and done things that we wish we'd done differently. And we're going to take this opportunity to seek God's pardon and His peace and His forgiveness and the opportunity to make a fresh start with Him again at the center of our lives. So let's going to join together now in the prayer, which again you'll see on the screen, as we say sorry to God and we seek His forgiveness. God of everlasting love,
God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We've worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We've served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and with one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, we ask you to grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to stand to sing in response to God's forgiveness. It is no secret what God can do. So if you'd like to take your seats again, Neil is going to bring our Bible reading to us this morning from Luke.
Our reading is taken from Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came back to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Here endeth the lesson.
The next song that we're going to sing in response to our reading is a new song to us. We maybe pick it up as we go along. And during the singing of this next song, which is called The Battle and the Blessing, and we get that sense in that reading of just the struggle sometimes it is in our lives. During the singing of the next song, the children are going to leave us for Sunday school upstairs, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. So we're going to stand and sing The Battle and the Blessing.
Buried with the Savior.
And let's just stay standing as we declare our faith in God together in the words of our creed and our beliefs about who God is.
We believe. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And as we respond to those beliefs that we hold about God, we're going to sing, He Will Hold Me Fast.
Oh,
if you'd like to take your seats. Let's just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Lord, we thank you for the way that you encountered people in all sorts of situations, in all sorts of conditions. And we pray that just as you met with people in the days when the scriptures were written, we ask that you would meet with us in all the different situations that we live in our daily lives. So we ask you now just to still our hearts, quieten our minds, and help us to be open to receive whatever it is that you want to show us or say to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I mentioned at the beginning that over this past year in the Connect services, we've been looking at encounters Jesus had with people. And we've been noticing over these recent months that he met with all kinds of people. Sometimes those meetings were quite lengthy or quite long. Other encounters were more fleeting. And the thing that kind of connects all of these encounters is that whoever met or encountered Jesus were very often challenged and they were very often changed. And today we hear about one of the more challenging encounters that Jesus had. And I guess what I've called my talk is tricky encounters. And maybe we know a little bit about tricky encounters in our own daily lives. But this particular encounter takes place as Jesus is traveling by boat, and he enters into some territory that is not exclusive to the Jews. And Jesus came from a Jewish background. And so we find Jesus outside his own area, so to speak. And immediately, he's probably feeling a bit uncomfortable because he's in probably a part of town he shouldn't be in. And I suspect that we know a little bit about that here in Northern Ireland, where very often territory is marked out in terms of political allegiance with flags and coloured curbstones, or maybe how street names can be displayed in English or Irish, depending on the part of town that you're in. When I first moved to Northern Ireland from the south back in 1996, I had the feeling that wherever I went, I was in the wrong part of town. Because whenever your accent is different to everyone else's, and even though you come from a particular denomination, nobody quite knows what to make of you. And so I remember at the time that I moved, everywhere I went, I felt really uncomfortable when I parked the car. I felt uncomfortable when I opened my mouth to ask for directions and so on. And as we think about this encounter Jesus had, he comes on shore in the region of the Gerasenes, and the welcoming for Jesus, the welcoming committee for Jesus, is a poor, unfortunate man who's suffering terribly from mental illness. And we don't exactly know what it was that he had, but what is very clear is that this poor man is deeply disturbed and he's very isolated. He's somebody that the whole community finds really frightening as he roams about with no clothes on. He doesn't live in a house like everyone else, but he lives among the tombs. And as Jesus comes on shore from his boat, this man shouts at Jesus as he falls at his feet. And mental illness is a very complex thing. And I'm conscious that even as I speak about it, many of us here might have experienced mental illness in different forms, either in our own lives or in the lives of people who are close to us. And it's not straightforward in any way. And there are no easy answers. But we will be aware of the huge distress and the turmoil that sometimes people experience in a whole range of illnesses, from anxiety and depression to schizophrenia or personality disorders or addictions. People on all sorts of levels find themselves again feeling really isolated, and very often they cut themselves off because of their behaviors, and it's a really distressing place to be if you are that person or if you're trying to support them. And I guess the first thing that's really striking to me in this encounter is how calm Jesus' presence is in this situation. And in a previous section of that same chapter, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus has calmed a storm, a physical storm, and he's calmed it. But as this disturbed man runs up naked and shouting, Jesus very calmly just asks him his name. And Jesus seems unfazed totally by all the noise and all the turbulence and all the turmoil that sort of surrounds this man when he comes into his presence. Everybody is really frightened of him because the chains that people used to bind him can't contain him. And he seems to gain this sort of frightening strength that enables him to burst free from his chains. And yet, in all of that frenzy and turmoil and distress, Jesus just very calmly seems to see him like everybody else, as a person in need. And so rather than avoid him or run away from him, Jesus simply meets him where he is. He comes alongside him and he allows all of those symptoms that surround his illness to just happen. And he doesn't really try to do anything about that immediate encounter. And so I love the calm that Jesus brings to this rather frightening encounter. And I love the compassion that he shows to a man who is obviously in great distress. And the second thing that I notice in this encounter is the authority that Jesus has over the demons. Because the demons know who's in charge. And they ask Jesus not to send them into the abyss. And the demons ask permission to enter the pigs who are feeding on the hillside. And that whole part of this encounter is a difficult part to understand, where the demons seem to leave the man and enter the pigs. And then we see the pigs charging down into the lake, down this steep bank, and they're drowned. And it's kind of hard, I think, to make sense of that part of this encounter. Some Bible commentators suggest that this poor man needed to see physical evidence that the demons had left him and then entered the pigs. But it's one of those parts of this encounter it's difficult to understand. But what we do see is that this very disturbed man experiences transformation after he encounters Jesus. And within a very short space of time, we see his whole demeanor, his posture changing. And so from somebody who was very disturbed and distressed and in great turmoil and running around and causing a huge rumpus and fuss wherever he went, within a few verses and after this encounter with Jesus, we see him in the posture of a disciple. And he is seated at Jesus' feet and he is listening to what Jesus says. And the Bible tells us that he's dressed and in his right mind. And I guess that begs the question for all of us, what does it look like to be in our right mind? What does it look like? Some people are fortunate enough to have a very steady and a very even temperament. And there are other people who battle constantly with mood swings and anxiety, and we're constantly on edge. But in this passage, we get a lovely picture of what being in our right mind looks like, where we see somebody just taking the time to sit at Jesus' feet, to listen to him, and to engage with what he says to us. And as we see this man engaging with Jesus, sitting at his feet, really focusing on what he's saying, we discover that this man wants to go with Jesus as the people who've seen what he has just done ask Jesus to leave. Because these people are all unsettled by Jesus' authority over the demons, by his capacity to bring healing and peace to a man who had been very troubled and who was seriously struggling with his mental health, probably for as long as they had known him. And very immediately, Jesus was able to transform that situation. And as a result, they're kind of feeling within themselves unsettled. And they're feeling frightened and they're wondering, how did he just do that? What did he just do? And what might he do to us who've obviously treated this man in a way that has left him feeling isolated? We'd be far better off if that Jesus guy went away. And I wonder if that desire to get Jesus to leave, I wonder, does that ring any bells with us? Because so often in our daily lives, we want to keep Jesus at arm's length, or we want to keep him in a box that we can easily control. And of course, the reality is that Jesus can't be contained. And whenever Jesus transforms us or transforms anyone else, it can actually be quite disturbing to those around us. Sometimes people see other people's behaviors changing and they're not quite sure what to make of it, and they almost prefer the previous way they were because they know where they stand. But Jesus sometimes enters somebody's life in such a way that their whole life is changed, their whole attitude, their approach to everything changes, and that can feel pretty disturbing. And maybe we might just ask Jesus if he would head away and leave us in peace. But when Jesus said no to that request, remember the man asked to come with Jesus in the boat, and Jesus said no to that request. The reason he said no was that he had other things in mind for this man. Because this man is a Gentile, he's not a Jewish person, and he's living in a non-Jewish environment. And now, as a result of this incredible experience, he has an incredible story to tell of how Jesus healed him and transformed his life. Return home, says Jesus, and tell how much that God has done for you. And essentially, isn't that what it's all about? Whenever we see these incredible encounters with Jesus, Jesus wants to see the effects of these encounters rippling out and touching others. And so what I want to suggest is that perhaps the greatest resource any of us have in terms of our faith is our own story of how God has been at work in our lives. And there is no such thing in my mind as a dull or a bad story. It just needs to be authentic and it needs to be real. And sometimes when we think of our own story, it might not seem as exciting as some of the stories that we've heard. Not many of us will probably have had an encounter with Jesus like this man who we're hearing about this morning. But whatever our own personal story is, it is unique to us. And even hearing that story can often stimulate the curiosity of other people and prompt them to explore an encounter with Jesus for themselves. And one of the great pleasures when I do my podcast is that I sometimes have the chance to speak with people about their story and of how faith has played an important part in that story. And very often when they hear those stories, no two stories are the same. And it's a wonderful thing when we hear how God has met different people in different situations and prompted something to happen in their lives that has transformed them or opened their hearts to Him. Sometimes those things are quite challenging in themselves, but often the story that people share is the thing that has the power to make it ripple out among other people. And I love hearing the stories of ordinary people day in, day out when I go visiting, who tell me of just how important it is to them to have God in their lives and how He's helped them through different situations that they have been living with. But this man not only has a story to tell, but people can see also from his demeanor, from the fact that he now clothes himself and sits calmly to listen to Jesus, that his life is really different now. It's very different to what it was before he met Jesus. And that change is both a powerful thing and a really, really beautiful thing. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you this morning that you are unafraid of those who are different or disturbed in any way. And we thank you for your desire to reach out to each one of us, even in our difficult and complicated moments, and to enter into those moments with us. Thank you that you have the authority and power to change things, not just for us, but for our world. We ask you to be at work within us, to share your hope and your love with the world. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to respond as we sing together the song of our offering, as we sing together, "My God is All I Need." Right. If you'd like to take your seats, I'm going to invite May to lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. Each prayer will conclude with the words, "Lord, in your mercy," and our joint response will be, "Hear our prayer." Dear God, we come to you today praying for the community of our church. We know that you have called us to be a light in the world, and we ask that you would bless and strengthen our community as we seek to fulfill that calling. Help us to be a source of love, hope, and encouragement to all who come to our church. May we be a place of refuge and healing for those who are hurting, and a community of support and accountability for those who are seeking to grow in their faith. Please help us to be mindful of the needs of our community and to be proactive in meeting those needs. May we be good stewards of the resources that you have given to us and use them in a way that furthers your kingdom and blesses those around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of peace and love, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for world leaders in their decision making that they will have compassion, discernment, and wisdom. We pray for all those in Ukraine and Russia who are suffering or afraid, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them and that you would be close to those who have suffered the loss of loved ones during this dreadful conflict. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for all those who are ill or anxious in any way. We pray for those living with chronic illness, whether relating to their mental or physical health, for those awaiting results or with recent diagnosis, and for those who need surgery. We thank you for our healthcare staff who care for them, and we pray that you will give them wisdom as they use their skills to bring healing and restoration. We ask that those who are unwell will know your presence alongside them and your power within them, bringing them peace. We pray that you would also encourage family and friends who support and care for those who are not well. We pray, Lord Jesus, for all who have suffered the loss of a loved one in recent times. In their darkness, we ask you to bring them hope and strength for the future. Let us take a few minutes now to name before God the people we know for whom life is difficult at present. Surround all the people we have named in our hearts with your loving arms, we pray. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear God, we thank you for the ministry team here in St. Finian's, for Jono, Gillian, and Claire, for everything they do for us and for all that they mean to us. We pray that they and their families will know your blessing in their lives. We thank you for bringing Francis among us for his placement. We pray that he will settle in quickly and that this may be a valuable time of learning and growth in his ministry training. We thank you for our newly appointed curate, Reverend Ryan Hawke, and we pray that you will bless him as he prepares to join our ministry team next month. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us conclude our prayers with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we seek to get the right anchor point in our lives, we're going to sing about that in our next song as we sing together True North.
Oh, oh, oh. You are my true north. Oh, oh, oh. You are my true north. I will not let the darkness shield. Give and change the heartbeat name, for you are my true north. Everybody, whoa, whoa, you are my true north. Whoa, whoa, you are my true north. Whoa, 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 you are my true north. Whoa.
So we're going to pray now as we prepare to go out into the world, and as we reflect on all that we've been thinking about today, and as we seek to be his people, as we go into our daily lives and return to all that it is that we do every week, let's pray together the words that we will see on the screen.
We go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And we're going to sing together The Days of Elijah.
Days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of the shadow and the glory.
So we're going to be still just for a little moment before we leave. And before we do that, the group are going to sing a blessing over us. And if anybody wants to join in, you're very welcome to do so. But let's just be still as we offer our lives, we offer ourselves, we offer everything that we are and that we have to God's glory as we go to live for Him. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord.